Morning. Today's daf from Bava Metzia is Kuf Yud Aleph. We start today on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the Tini Tana. It is about, it's a little more than halfway down on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Following Braisa was taught Kameid the Rav Nachman in front of Rav Nachman. Everyone knows how this is going to work out. An Amara is saying over Braisa in front of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is going to be critical. Just like we're masadah by Erech, so too we're masadah by Baal Chov. Erech we already discussed yesterday. First makes a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, promising that he's going to give somebody's value based on age and gender. And so he thought he was able to commit to it, but then it turns out that finances change. People's finances go up, go down, and he's no longer able to pay. So the Beis HaMikdash creates for him a payment plan. Beis HaMikdash works out with the person what he's going to be able to pay. It's what with the Gemara describes in Erechin as Hesed Yad. Okay, so he's unable to pay what he's able to pay. So we work out something with him. So the Brice over here says, so the same thing we do with a Baal Chov. Baal Chov can't pay his debts, so we're Masadir. So we create some sort of payment plan. So I'm a lay. So the Gemara says, I don't understand that. Hashtag Zavunim is Avnina lay. Sadur Masadrina lay. How could that possibly be? We're going to sell his possessions. He's going to pay back his debt. He owes the money. What does that mean, payment plan? That we're going to try to adjust the amount that he owes? Of course we're not going to adjust that. What could that mean? So the Gemara says, Umim is Avnina lay vatana machsir sakabalaila vesa mecheresha bayom. So the Gemara says, first of all, what does that mean? We sell his possessions. Didn't we learn yesterday, we don't sell his possessions? You're mamashkin, you take collateral, and then you give it back to him. And then you take it, and then you give it back to him. But we don't sell it. So the Gemara says, Tanaka Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Tanaka Mei. So the Gemara says, no. The one who was saying over the bright, so was assuming like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We learned in yesterday's mission, the Gemara reviews with us right now, B'achi Kamarlei. Hashal Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Zavunim Azamnina Lei. Remember, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, yes, for 30 days we go back and forth. Take it, give it back. Take it, give it back. After 30 days, you sell it. And that's it, and you walk away with the proceeds. So a Sadur Masadrina Lei did none. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Af La Atzmo, Eino Machzir, Ella Ad Shloshim Yom. Mikan Ve'elech Mochrim Bevezdin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel told us yesterday in the Mishnah that after 30 days, the collateral is sold. You keep the proceeds of the sale. So what does that mean, Masadrin Lo? It doesn't make any sense. There's no payment plan. We don't adjust the loan for the individual. Okay. So that's a strong question that Rav Nachman asks on the Braisa. Now the Gemara, before addressing the Gemara, says Umimai. The Gemara says, well, maybe we're working with an assumption that may not be true, and that is that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we sell. Now it's a pretty safe assumption because that's what he says. But the Gemara now is suggesting that maybe that's not what he meant. What he meant is Dilma Hachikamer Ashoshim Yom Hadolei Be'enei. Maybe for the first 30 days after default, after you take the mashkon, once again you go back and forth. Take it from him, give it back. Take it from him, give it back. And then Mikan Ve'elech. What happens after day 30? Again, this is a suggestion of the Gemara. So then what we do basically is we say, look, I took this garment from you. It's pretty nice. Let's say it cost $100. You don't need a $100 jacket. You could do just as well with a $50 jacket. So we'll sell the $100 jacket. I'll take $50. We'll buy a $50 jacket, and we'll give you back a $50 jacket. Maybe that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said means, is what we're supposed to do after day 30. If that's true, so then, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is misader, meaning you work with the borrower, but you don't just simply take everything and sell everything. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, because as we're going to see in just a moment, once a person gets used to something, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's his lifestyle, and we don't make adjustments to people's lifestyles. And so therefore, there's no such thing as, well, I normally wear a $100 jacket, I can get away with a $50 jacket. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's no such svara. How do I know that? The Amar Abaye, because Abaye made the following statement, and that is, Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva, Kul Sfir Leheg, Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim. Abaye says, I will string together four Tanayim. It's really three Tanayim, but you'll see how I count it later. He strings together four Tanayim, who basically say that we're all royalty. We're all royalty, And regardless of what our personal finances are, we can treat ourselves to the nicest of things, like a king would, and it would play out in a halacha. So let's go. Three halachas. Number one. This is a mission describing what is muksa. These foods are muksa because they're not really edible. Luf chardal, they are foods that are really raw and unprocessed and uncooked. They're not edible. And Rashbag matir b'luf. Now Rashbag allows a person to move luf on Shabbos, even though it's some sort of legume that's inedible. Rashbag says it's not muksa. Why? Because mimneshu machal orvim. Because you can feed it to the ravens. And I know not every one of us has ravens in our house. I'll speak for myself. I'm raven free, but I, according to Rashbag, I could have a raven. Now, it's true that who normally has ravens as pets? Royalty. Kings have ravens as pets. But according to the Rashbag, that's fine. Every Jew can treat themselves like royalty vis-a-vis the halacha of muksa. And so, therefore, according to the Rashbag, it's not muksa. I'll give you a second tana. In these regards, I don't know. It's more than reasonable question. Rabbi Shimon did not, and Rabbi Shimon says, "B'nei Malachim Sachin Shemen Vered Al Gabe Makvaseim B'Shabbes." Rabbi Shimon says that. Sorry, the Tanna Kama says that you can take rose oil and rub it onto your wounds on Shabbos. Shekein Darkan Lasoch Bechol. Because that's what they normally use during the week. And so therefore, it's not something specifically known as refuah. This is just a normal practice, and therefore you could do so. But according to the Tanna Kamma, only if you are B'nai Malachim. Only if you're royalty. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Hein. And Rabbi Shimon says, what do you mean? Every Jew gets to treat themselves like royalty. And so every Jew is allowed to use these types of medicine. It's not medicine. These are just normal usage for everyone. You can't use medicine. This is not medicine, though. In other words, it's just an oil. Right. In other words, but that's medicine. Meaning over here, it's an oil. It just happens to be an extraordinarily expensive oil.
But that's fragrance and
oil. That's fine. That's fine. And Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Ditanya, and we learned, and that's why I said it's really three, because here Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva are together on this position. Ditanya, Arei Shayanoshim Ba'olav Zuz, Ulevush Itzalabas Me'amane. So let's say a person owed 1,000 Zuz, and he had a coat that was worth 10,000. So the coat alone can more than well pay off the debt, and in fact, you get 9,000 back. Ashitanoso Me'menu Ma'bishinoso Itzalaruy Lo. So, according to the Tana, okay, you owe the money, you have a coat, coat's 10,000, so here's what we'll do, we'll sell the coat. And you'll get a cheaper coat. V'tanu mishum Rabbi Shmuel, v'tanu mishum Rabbi Akiva, kol Yisrael ru'uyin lo so itzdala. And it was quoted both in the name Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That what do you mean? That's his coat. Every Jew is worthy of wearing such a coat. So you don't take the coat off of his back in order to pay off the debt. Yes, the coat. Yes, he could wear a cheaper coat, but we don't. We treat everyone like B'nai Malachim.
So chapter wouldn't be said about coat. Can take glimmered al kasper.
Right.
So according to this gemara,
The chassan is meshabed himself to glima. I feel glima kasve. Correct. Now. So the Gemara says, so what have we just shown? We've just shown that Rav Shimon Gamliel no way subscribes to this idea that what we'll do is we'll be Masader. We'll just figure out what you can get away with. No, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, once you're used to that kind of lifestyle, we don't take that lifestyle away from you. So therefore, when in our mission, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you sell it, do you know why you sell it? Because he owes you the money and you're selling it for the payment back of the loan. You're not selling it in order to provide for him a cheaper coat. You're selling him to satisfy the loan. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel says in the Mishnah. And that brings us all the way back to the beginning of our point, which is that according to Rav Nachman, we are not misadir when it comes to loans. So the Gemara says, and honestly, let's even go back to the Havamina, meaning we rejected it. But let's just for a moment go back to that Havamina, that we're going to sell off your more expensive coat, and you're going to buy a cheaper coat. Now, Bishlam, I understand pillows and blankets. You have an expensive one, so you sell it and you get a cheaper one. I hear that. But we're talking about a machresh. And remember yesterday, I quoted the Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam says machresh is a brush. It's not a shovel. Rabbeinu Tam bases that position basically on this Gemara. So let's say like Rabbeinu Tam, that the machresh over here is a brush. What does that mean, expensive brush and cheap brush? So I'm Rava Barava machresh de kaspa. Gemara says, sure. What he had was he had a silver brush, and that's really expensive, and you don't need a silver brush. Sell the silver brush, and you'll get a cheaper brush. Okay, so basically the Gemara just explained to us a little bit better what that Havamina was. Maskevla Rav Chag Velei Malei. Rav Chag asked the following question. Such a good question. And it's very simple. The Malva should say to the Lava, I am not following. Again, we are within the Shitas that say that if he has something that's really expensive, so we don't ask him to sell it. Again, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. We don't ask him to sell it, but basically that's the lifestyle that he is, that he's accustomed to. He can keep that kind of lifestyle. So the Gemara says, I understand. The Malva now says to the Lava, Lava lai karamis. Do you know that you're living off my generosity? I'm the one who lent you the money. Now you owe me back the money. You don't have any money, but you're living an expensive lifestyle, and that coat that you're wearing is really nice, and I have to tolerate that, meaning my generosity is paying for your lifestyle? Why is that my responsibility? So Amale Abaye, Ivra Allah Karami. So Abaye says, the question really becomes the answer. Yeah, that's your responsibility. Why? Because the pasuk says that when you lend somebody money, you are a bal tzedaka. You are considered a generous individual. That's charity. And yes, he can't pay you back right now. And yes, his lifestyle that he's leading, probably he shouldn't be leading that lifestyle. But that's why the Torah describes it as tzedaka. So, question and answer. Should I be doing this? The answer is, yeah, you should be.
What happens if it's hektish?
Well, the Gemara is right now talking about just loans. Actually, first half of today's daf talks about hektish. Correct. Agreed. But over here, we're past that point, meaning I lent him the money already, now he owes me the money, and now, because of his lifestyle, he can't pay back his loans. Okay. We are on the very top of Kuf Yudalam at Aleph. We are second line in. Ibai Luhumashi Isadru Babachov. So are we Masadra by Babachov? Now it's a funny question because yesterday's daf was just dealing with this very issue. Some say we are Masadra and some say we're not Masadra. The idea of being Masadra is basically creating some sort of payment plan, understanding that he cannot pay back his loans at its current cost, at the current loan value. So basically we're gonna adjust the loan value commensurate to what he can pay. Basically, you know, a payment plan. You know, all these companies telling you that, you know, they can adjust your credit card debt. So do we do that for the Baal Chov? Yes or no? And basically what the Gemara is asking is, yesterday's daf, Kuf Yud Gimel, we had a debate. Like, where do we stand in terms of the halacha? So, and basically, we know this. By Erechin, there is Hesed Yad, and there is a payment plan, and there is adjustment when it comes to Erech, and that is in the Torah. And do we learn out a Gzeirah Shava, extending this idea to a Baal Chov, Tashma? Tishalach Ravin Bagraisa. I asked all my rebbeim v'lo amrli davar, and I did not get an answer on this issue. Barum kachayisa sheila, but there was another question, and you're going to see based on the answer to this other question, we know the answer. Ha'omer arei alai mana lebedek abayis. What if I make a pledge that I'm going to give one mana to the bedek abayis? Now this is not erchin. Erchin is when I give somebody's value to the base of mikdash. Here it's very similar. But it's not Erechin. Here it's, I'm giving a specific amount to the base of Mikdash. Specifically a mana. So, Maushi Saju. And now when it came time to pay, so he pledged, and he felt very good about pledging, but right now, unfortunately, he's not in the financial position where he can keep his promise. What do we do? So Rav Yaakov, Mishmei de Bar Padav Rav Yirmiyah, Mishmei de Ilfa Amre, Kavachamre, Bibachov. So the Gemara quotes first in the name of Ilfa. I think the answer is obvious. We're going to learn out a logical deduction based on a Balchov. Ma Balchov Shemachzirin. Now, why buy a Balchov? What do we know? When you take a mashkon from your borrower, so you give it back to him. So you see that by Balchov, there is certain generosity is extended to the borrower. However, ain misadrin. But there's no adjustment to the payment. If that's what he owes, that's what he owes. And the payment is never going to get adjusted. So you see already, in creating the Kal V'chomer, the starting point is, there is no adjustment to how much he owes. Hektesh she'ein machzirin, ein odin she'ein misadrin. By hektesh, there's no concept of machzirin. When you take a mashkon, when hektesh takes the mashkon, that's it. Hektesh keeps it. So if they keep the mashkon, so for sure there's not going to be any adjustment to the amount that is owed. So that is the argument made by Bar Bada. So again, we're going to go on in the Gemara, but before we go on, the observation that we need to make is, you see, that the Kal V'chomer starts with the assumption that there's no adjustment to how much the borrower owes the lender. Rav Yochanan Amar, Neder Be'erka Chaksiv. So, Rav Yochanan says, no, I think there is going to be an adjustment. But based on the fact that the Torah says, Neder be'erkecha, ma'erchin misadrin af hektesh misadrin. Well, if we're misadr by erchin, so we're going to be misadr by hektesh as well. Meaning that if you make a flat donation to the Beit HaMikdash, and your finances are such now that you cannot keep your pledge, so an adjustment is made based on the psukim and the connection between hektesh and erchin. Fine. And again, that's and that machlokus is a machlokus. But again, you see that these amarim are clearly of the opinion that no adjustment is made regarding the balchov. V'idach. Now, what is the other mandam going to say? Because clearly, Ilfa does not agree with Rav Yochanan in terms of how to darshan that pasuk. How does Ilfa darshan the pasuk? The concept, the idea of nidam mechvodo. Very quickly, Rashi goes through it in a little bit more detail. I'll state succinctly. When I make an erech regarding somebody, so I have to make an erech regarding his entire being, his whole body, his person. There's no such thing as half erech or quarter erech. And so therefore, if I say I'm going to give Phil's erech, that means I have to give his value based on age and gender. If, let's say, I want to give the erech of just an extremity of his, that's not an erech. What if I make a pledge that I want to give the erech of a vital organ, like the heart, like the brain, so then that is considered like I am going to be giving his full erech. The same thing is true regarding damim. If I want to give somebody's value, and I point to a vital organ, it's ke'ilu I'm going to be giving his entire person. This is the idea of nidam bechvoda. Fine. So basically, that's what Ilfa does with the drasha. The sadru bebalchov kavachom emeirchen. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's go back to our discussion. So, both Ilfa and Rav Yochanan, although having a debate regarding this idea of misadrin by hektesh or not misadrin by hektesh, they are both of the opinion that we are not misadrin by balchov. There's no adjustment made to the amount that is owed. The Gemara says, well, why not? Why don't we make a simple kal v'chomer? V'yisadrin b'balchov, kal v'chomer me'erchin. U'ma erchin she'im achzirin misadrin b'balchov. Let's consider. By erchin, we all just learned together that when the Beis HaMikdash comes to your house in order to collect your payment, they take a mashkon and they don't return it to you. And yet the Torah says there's an adjustment. So, b'alchov she'im achzirin ein odin she'im misadrin. So when it comes to b'alchov where you do give back the mashkon, so isn't it now a reasonable argument that if the Torah is telling me, be lenient with the borrower, give him back his mashkon, so if he's unable to pay back, if his finances are such that he can't pay, so then adjust the amount that he owes. So, sounds like a reasonable kal v'chomer. Amakra, v'imachu me'erkecha, hu v'lo b'chov. So the Gemara says, okay, kal v'chomer may be nice, but it does not conform with the pshat in the Torah. The Torah says, where do we make adjustments? Who? Only in the category of erichin do we make adjustments, but in no other obligations do we make any type of adjustment. Fine. Now, V'idach, the Gemara says, now what are we going to do with the other opinion? What other opinion is Gemara talking about right now? Meaning we're not talking about Ilfa, we're not talking about Rav Yochanan. What Idach is the Gemara talking about right now? See Rashi. Rashi starts at the bottom of the Amud. Last narrow line of Rashi. V'idach. Tanakam de Masnisen. Rashi says, we're going back now to the Mishnah, and specifically to the Tanakam of the Mishnah. Now remember, in the Mishnah, there was the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Obviously, that's the second opinion in the Mishnah, who says that after 30 days, you could take the collateral and you could sell it. The implied Tanakama position, which quite frankly, when we read the Mishnah, I didn't speak this out, but now we can. The implied position of the Tanakama is that there is no sale after 30 days. Rashi over here writes, Tanakama demasis ndamer mesajin labachov diktani. How do I know in the Tanakama of our Mishnah that there is an adjustment made from the borrower to the lender in terms of how he can pay back? Because look what the Mishnah says. In mace, what if we have a scenario in which he, the borrower, dies? Eino machzir liyoshav. So, you don't take the collateral and give it back to the next generation. However, hello, if it were him, meaning had he not died, machzir la'olam, you continuously give back the collateral, and there's no cap, there's no limit to the amount of time that you're going to give back the collateral. So, v'idach hay ad shehei bechamoso, sorry. So now let's spell it out. So now that you see that according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, that there is a tremendous leniency given towards the borrower, where even though collateral is going to be taken from him, at no point in time is that collateral ever going to be sold. It's always going to be taken, given back, ad infinitum, or until death. So according to now that Tanakama's position in the Mishnah, what do you do with the drasha over here? Because clearly he's working with the assumption that we extend leniencies towards the borrower. So what does he do with the drasha? So hi achieba machusa mitchila v'asofa. So he says in terms of the drasha, so he says that you have to be in a state of mach, you have to stay in a poverty from beginning to the end. Meaning that in order to receive any kind of adjustment plan towards the towards the person who made the erech, so he had to be in a constant state of poverty. If he was wealthy at any point in time, so he is not afforded this adjustment of hesed yad.
Doesn't halacha follow Rabbi Shmuel Yamin in the Mishnah? Is mentioned in the Mishnah.
Rabbi Yochanan says that he does say that. So okay. Now, v'yachzru behektish kavachomim mibachov. Next question of the Gemara. Why not have, by hektish, you return the collateral? We can learn it from Balchov. Uma Balchov shem mesadrin. Now, by Balchov, now we're not mesadrin, meaning that's the accepted halacha. That there's no adjustment that's made for the Balchov, and yet machzirin, and yet, as far as collateral is concerned, the collateral is going to be returned. Hektish and mesadrin, and din shem machzirin. So by hektish, we know we're mesadr. We know we make an adjustment. So if you take collateral, shouldn't you give the collateral back? Amakra v'shacha b'samaso uberechacha. So the Torah says no. We know that by hektish you don't have to give it the collateral. Why by a balchov is the collateral going to be returned? So the Torah says, because you're going to give him back his sama, you'll give him back his blanket, and he will bless you. Hektish doesn't need to bless you. Yatsa hektish in sarach bracha. So the Gemara says, hektish doesn't need to bless you, and so therefore there's no need for them to return back the collateral that they took. So the Gemara says, velo, and hektish doesn't need to bless you. I'll show you that Kadosh Baruch Hu blesses you, v'aksiv, v'achalta v'savata v'erachta, that you eat and you'll be satisfied and you're going to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we call it benching. And this is source in the Torah for benching. But in our context of our Gemara over here, it's just a simple idea that a bracha can be extended to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't think Hektish would want a bracha if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would like a bracha? Hektish, you don't think Hektish would want a bracha? So that's not a compelling argument to say, well, Hektish doesn't have to return the collateral to you. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you the other argument. Why doesn't Hektish have to return the collateral? Because the Torah says, to you it's staka. Hekdesh does not require tzedakah. There's no concept of tzedakah vis-a-vis Hekdesh, and therefore, that's why Hekdesh does not need to return the collateral back to you. Where do we stand after all these Gemaras? In terms of a Baal Chov, the Gemara seems to conclude that there's no adjustment made to the Chov. You owe an outstanding obligation. That outstanding obligation is owed in full, and no adjustment is made, even though by Erchin, and even perhaps by Hekdesh, there's going to be an adjustment that's made, but that's not going to be true regarding Baal Chov. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. Certainly, if you take a look at the Baal Tosfos over here, Rabbeinu Tam says that is the conclusion, that we're not Mesader. In terms of the collateral's concern, so the collateral that's taken from you after the point of default, so it's returned to you on a nightly basis, and as far as the Mishnah is concerned, how long does that extend? That's the machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakh Kama and Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says that after 30 days it's sold. According to the Tanakama, this just goes in perpetuity. And basically, it's according to the Tanakama, it's just a means of which to keep reminding him that he in fact owes them money. Ashkechei Rabba Baravul Aliyahu, Dekai Bebesakvar Shal Ovde Kochavim. Rabba Baravua finds Aliyahu who was hovering about a non Jewish cemetery. Okay. What was he doing there, and by what right was he there? Okay, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, we first see the dialogue. So he says, well, do we make adjustments regarding the Baal Chov? Now, okay, it happens to be that that's our topic of discussion. That's why the Gemara is over here. Amalei Gamar Micha Micha Merchin. So Gabe Erchin Ksive Mach Hu Merkecha. Gabe Baal Chov Ksive Chiyamoch Achicha. So his answer to number one is yes, we are Mesader. And the reason why is because Eliyahu holds of the Gzera Shava, which we suggested on the very top of this Amud, you may or may not accept. Meaning some people have it, some people don't have the Gzera Shava. Clearly, Eliyahu did have the Gzera Shava. And of course, it only begs the question, if he had the Gzera Shava, so whose Mesorah then would be going against Eliyahu's Mesorah? But okay. Anyway, that was question number one. Question number two. Kuf Yadal Amud Beis Minayin La Arum Shalo Yitrom. How do I know that someone who does not have clothing on, so he should not take off Trumos and Maitro, Stichsiv, V'lo Yira B'chai Ervas Davar. So the Torah says that you shouldn't see Ervas Davar. And Rashi over here on the very top explains, B'shasha Tamidab Rebo, when you are speaking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or what we would say, when you're making a bracha, you are not allowed to see erva. You're not allowed to see the private parts of the body. You cannot make a bracha when you're naked. And when you take off trumas and maestros, you have to make a bracha. And actually, first parak of Masechta Trumos, where the Mishnah say that you're not allowed to do so. And again, this question was posed to Eliyahu Navi. And he says, no, you can't do it. Amalei. Now, that was the question-answer section of Rava Baravua and Eliyahu. Right? Yeah, Rava Baravua and Eliyahu. Amalei, lav koinu, mar, my time at karma, mar, be basic verse. So, yeah. So, aren't you a Kohen? Now, is Eliyahu Anavi a Kohen? So the Gemara over here assumes yes, unequivocally. And Rashi over here writes, second Rashi in the Amud, De'ika l'manda amar de Eliyahu Pinchas. We have an opinion that Eliyahu really is none other than Pinchas. Dichsiv be' kano kanisi v'chem be'pinchas be'kano is kinasi. So you see that the language used by Pinchas and Eliyahu are similar to one another, so they're one and the same individual. If you would like to see more discussion on this, so Tosos here on the top of the Amud has more discussion on the identity of Eliyahu Navi. We're good right now where we are because clearly our Gemara is subscribing to the idea that he's a Kohen, and according to one opinion, it's Pinchas, one and the same person.
Shouldn't he have this question first? what are you doing here? What you're saying
sounds reasonable. Okay, yeah. So what are you doing in the basic verse? Amalei la masni mar taharos de tanya. So didn't you learn taharos? Eliyahu and Avi says back to Rav Baravua. De tanya, it says in taharos. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai Amar kivrem shol avdei kochavim ein matamim. According to the Rashbi, the cemetery of a non-Jew does not give off tuma, right? Ve'atein son eats son marisi adam. Atem kurim adam ve'ein avdei kochavim kurim adam. Based on a drasha, the remains of a non-Jewish body is not going to give off tuma. Okay, debate, major debate amongst the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Balei HaTosfos, which position we subscribe to. The Shulchan Aruch says that lechatchila Kohen should not go into a non-Jewish cemetery, but b'di'eved, however, it's acceptable. But okay, anyway, so. We're just right now. We'll stay with the Gemara. So Eliyahu Navi says this is a non-Jewish cemetery. I know I'm a Kohen. It's not a problem. I subscribe to the viewpoint of the Rashbi. So Amar Lei, what a fascinating answer that's about to come in the Gemara from Rav Baravua back to Eliyahu Navi. Amar Lei ba'arba lo matzina b'shisa matzina. I'm struggling right now with the four sedarim of the six sedarim of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. I basically got, I can barely wrap my head around four. And now you're asking me a question, taharos? And you want me to know Seder taharos? Okay, now, which four is he making reference to? Rashi over here says he's referring to the following. He's referring to Moed. Rashi calls it Yeshuos. Yeshuos is Nezikin and Nashin. Shehein Ohagim is Manazeh. Meaning those are the relevant Siddurim. Right? Nezikin, which is what we're learning right now. We're in the middle of Nezikin. We're learning Bab Metziah, Baba Kama, Bab Metziah, Baba Basra, Sanhedrin, etc., etc. That's all practical halacha. Damages, torts, how much I owe you, if I damage custodian, etc., etc. Lending with interest. Okay, we're here. That's where we are. Nashim, Seder Nashim, marriage, divorce, okay, all relevant, even Afilu Bizmanazeh, and of course Moed, all relevant, Afilu Bizmanazeh. But then when you're talking about Zrayim and Taharos, so those are for us not Halacha L'maisa, right? We don't live in Eretz Yisrael. I know hopefully we're all going to come back and Bizman Karov, but we're not in Eretz Yisrael, and Taharos is we don't subscribe to Tuma Tahara, so these are Siddurim that we don't learn. Interesting. Rashi notes that there's still one more to make it to the fourth, and what's the fourth one? Kachim. Kachim is halach lamaisa. Kachim is relevant. Rashi writes, "V'kachim nami kidechsiva v'kol machom muktar mukdash lishmi." V'amrin and Rashi quotes the Gemara Menachos. Elo tamid chachamim ma'oskim ba'alachos avoda. Tamid chachamim were involved in learning about the avoda. V'kol makom mala alam hakasuf ki ilu makriven osam bebeis hamikdash. Learning about the avoda is tantamount to actually doing the avoda. So I know it sounds strange, but obviously you have to say pshat in the Gemara. So kachim is halacha lamaisa in this regard. Okay, so what a fascinating answer. And so basically, Rav Baravua says you can't ask me really a question in taharos. I'm not holding in taharos. Amalei v'amai amalei dechikalei milsa. And he says, and why? And he says dechikalei milsa. Right? We just don't have the time. Too much pressure. So Eliyahu basically gives them a Musar Shmuz, the kind of Musar Shmuz that none of us can really give to one another. So Eliyahu says, here, come. Let's go to Gan Eden. Let's go take a look at what's in store. So Amar Lei Pasha Glimech Safish Kol Mehani Tarfe. He said, take off your coat and take some of the leaves over here from Gan Eden. Safa Shakal. So he goes and he takes some of the leaves of Gan Eden. Gavan Afig. And now he's leaving Gan Eden after having taken a quick tour with Eliyahu Navi through Gan Eden, and he has some of the leaves of Gan Eden in his coat. Shama Dekamar. But then he overheard as he's leaving Gan Eden with leaves of Gan Eden. So he heard a voice say, "Man ka'achel la'alma karaba baravua." Who is literally eating their world, the world to come, like Rava Baravua? You can't take Gan Eden with you right now. You're going to be taking a portion of your Gan Eden as you leave. So in other words, don't do that. So nafash adinu. So he took the leaves that he had with him and he put them down and he left them in Gan Eden. Afilo hachi asya leglima. And but nevertheless, though, the leaves came into contact with his garment, and so the fragrance of the Gan Eden was on his garment. Sacha glima recha, and the coat had the reich of Gan Eden and zavne. And what he was able to do was sell his coat, betray sa alfei dinare, and he became a very wealthy man. And so basically what Eliyahu HaNavi did is, in other words, his response is, Dechikilei Milsa. I got too many financial pressures on me. I can't be learning all six Siddharim of Mishnayos. Based on this short little tour. Huh? Yeah, I know. I know it's coming up. I know. So palginu lechan v'nase. And so what he did with the money is he split it amongst all of his son-in-laws. Okay. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Let's go. So the Gemara says, if he is a poor person, so don't sleep with his garment. Meaning, you took a collateral. He defaulted on his loan. You took the collateral. But don't keep it at night. Give it back to him. So ha'ashir shchiv. So the Gemara says, and if he's wealthy, so let him sleep with it. So my kamar. So the Gemara says, what just happened over here? Please, someone explain to me the brisa. I'm Rav Sheshes Hachi Kamar. So Rav Sheshes says, here's pshat. V'imishani hu lo sishka v'avoto atzlecha ha'ashir shchiv v'avoto atzlecha. It does not mean that, and I should have made this point before I read Rav Sheshes. Rashi over here points out. What's difficult? What's difficult over here is that it sounds like from the Braisa that if it's a wealthy man, not only can you keep his coat, but you could use it as well. And Rashi points out over here, of course you can't do that. That's called ribis. Anytime you're getting an additional benefit to that, to the loan value, that's called ribis. You can't do that. So now I could say over Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, here's what the pshat and the brisa. If he's a poor person, you got to give it back to him every night. Now, if he's a wealthier person, you take the collateral. You don't have to give it back to him every night, but you're certainly not allowed to sleep with it. Meaning, you can't get extra benefit from him. You're just taking the collateral as a means of reminding him, hey, you owe the money. Tana Rabbanan, we quote the Gemara, quotes another brisa. Hamav is chaver in a Rosh Hashanah Mashkeno. If you lend somebody, if you lend money to your friend, you cannot take collateral. You don't have to return it to him. And you violate all these terms in the Torah. Again, Micah Amar. A simple question. What just happened in this brisa? So this brisa over here is really strange. So the brisa starts off by saying that you can't take the collateral, and then the brisa says, and you don't have to return it. If you didn't take it, there's nothing to return. And also, it says at the end of the brisa, and you're violating all the Yisurim. Once again, if you didn't take the collateral, you're not violating any Yisurim. Obviously, the brisa needs a pshat. So the Gemara over here is going to offer two pshat. Amr of Sheshes Hachi Kamar. So our first pshat is going to be the following. Hamavetz Chaver in Rosh Hashanah Mashkeno v'Mashkeno Chayv LaHachzir Lo v'Over B'Chol Hashem Asalalu Aseifa. So let's go step by step. If you lend money to your friend, so you are not allowed to be mashkein, and if you're mamashkein, so you must return it to him, and you violate all the surim, and that's going on the seifa. Meaning, if you don't return the garment to him, then you're going to be in violation. Rav Amar Achi Kama, Rav says, no, this is pshat in the brisa. Hamav is chaver nevesh al hamashkeno. If you lend money to your friend, you cannot take collateral. V'mashkeno chayv la'achzir lo. And if you take collateral, you give it right back to him. B'amed Rav Amar Mashkeno shlo b'shat salvaso. That's only if you didn't take the collateral at the origination of the loan. But let's say he comes to you and he says, can I borrow money? And you say, yeah, but I'm a little bit concerned. I don't know if I'm going to get paid back. So if you take a mashkon at the point of origination, now you're allowed to keep the mashkon. Such a mashkon is retainable. And then when the brisa at the end says, and you're violating all the Yisurim, that's going back to the first part of the brisa. That's talking about when you took a mashkon, not at the origination of the loan. Tini Rav Shiz become a derava adbar shemesh tishiven alo. Zuk suslaila. until the sun sets, you must give it to him. That's a reference to Ksus Laila, the garment of the evening. Hashev Sashiv Lo Asavot, and you're supposed to give back to the collateral Kivo Hashemesh as the sun is setting Zuk Ksus Yom. That's a reference to Ksus Yom. So Amalei Diyamama Balaila Lamali Udalaila Biyamama Lamali. You have his night garment during the night, you have the day garment during the day. It's a little bit strange. So Amalei Ismei, so he says, okay, the Brisa is a little bit difficult to read. Should I just simply delete the Brisa? So he says, Amalei lo hachi kamar. He says, no, we'll just simply say a pshat in the Brisa. Ad ba shemesh tishiven lo zuk sus yom. Until the sun sets, so you have to give it back to him. That's a reference to the Ksus Yom. Shenitna lachbo balayla, which means that you were allowed to take it over the course of the night. Meaning that wasn't his day coat, that was his night coat. I'm sorry. That was his day coat, which you were entitled to take over the course of the night. And Hashem Tishivlo Sohavo Kivo Hashemesh Zuk Ksus Laila. Shenitna lachbo balayom. And as far as his pajamas are concerned, so you're allowed to take that during the day, and you have to return to him tonight. That's simply what the Brisa means. Okay, I can't believe this, but we're done. I'll just mention one other comment over here on the daf today. I know, when did that happen? So I'll just mention one more comment, and that it's a short daf. And the second to last Tosfos on the Amud. So Eliyahu is a Kohen. Our Gemara clearly maintains that position. So if you take a look at the second to last Tosfos, he asks such a wonderful question. Tamilari, Heich Haechia Bina Shel Ha'amana. What did one of the things Eliyahu did is he revived a dead child. Okay? So, but how could he do that? He's a Kohen, and the child clearly was Jewish. And to what ends could he do that? Kevin Shekohen Haya Dichsi V'yismodeid Ala Yalet V'yesh Lamer Shaya Borer Lo Sheyechiel Lekach Hayamuter Mishum Pekoch Nefesh. He knew he was going to revive the child, and therefore it was allowed because of Pekoch Nefesh. The language of Tosfos over here is extraordinarily interesting, where Tosfos says he knew for sure he was going to revive him. Sounds like from Tosfos that it was a suffix, then he wouldn't be allowed to do that. And then we can all ask the obvious question. Even if it's a suffix, you got to try. Meaning, pikuach nefesh is not when I know I'm going to save the person. Pikuach nefesh is even if there's a chance that I'm going to save the person. So why does Tosfos over here write borer lo, that only when it's clear to him? So within Tosfos, possible explanation would be is that when we normally say suffix pikuach nefesh, that's only when the chazaka is that he was alive. And now I want to continue that chazaka. Over here, the child was dead. So, it doesn't fit into the normal category of pekuach nefesh. Because over here, it's not pekuach nefesh as a suffix is only when the chazaka is at your life. Here, child's definitely dead. So the only thing, says Tosfos, that would allow Eliyahu to make the attempt is only if he knew for sure that he was going to revive him. That could explain the language of Tosfos over here. I hear that. Okay, just a quick recap. Today we finished the discussion in the Gemara regarding Masader. Are you allowed to make an adjustment for the Baal Chov? I erchin yes. I hektish debatable. By Baal Chov, can you be Masader? The Gemara says debatable, but it sounds like from the conclusion of the Gemara that you cannot be Masader. And as I pointed out, Rabbeinu Tam's conclusion as well is that no adjustment is made. Vis-a-vis the Mashkon, it's returned to him as needed. Can the Mashkon ever be sold? Again, Machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether it can be sold. The Gemara went through question and answer regarding Rava Baravu and Eliyahu and Navi. Interesting questions, interesting answers. Eliyahu was a Kohen. We dealt with that a little bit. And a couple more brises regarding the returning of the Mashkon and the necessity to say a pshat in the last two brises of today.